Pastor Stanley Dells of Forest Fold Chapel, Crowborough, Jubilee Meetings, held at the Beacon School, Crowborough, on May the 11th, 1974. The Morning Service.
As we met here today, let us commence our meeting with prayer. Oh, thou great and eternal God, thou knowest why we are met here this time. Oh, do come and make one of it in our midst, that we may hear this day's past, feel that thou hast been with us and that to bless. Oh, Lord, do be with those who have a part to take here today. Do help them, and oh, may they each feel that this is a good day to them and to each of those who hear. We would ask all these mercies with the pardon and forgiveness of every sin for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer. Amen. Let us commence with hymn number one. To the tune Moscow 526. We bless the triune God, the Father and the Word and Holy Ghost, God who must ever be the mighty one in three to all eternity, the Lord of hosts.
my beloved friends, to see you all here before me this morning is quite overwhelming to my spirit, and I feel sure that you will not wish me to use a multitude of words and take time this morning in assuring you how thankful we feel for the interest and affection that has disposed your hearts to gather here on this day. And so I will say no more than that we most deeply appreciate your presence, feel thankful for your affection, and hope that you may feel this day has been a day which the Lord hath blessed. Another point I wanted to mention is that there are, of course, a number of my ministerial brethren in our assembly this morning. And with my feelings to you all, I would gladly have asked each one to speak. But that, of course, cannot be because of the time. And so it has seemed desirable to confine the speakers this morning and this afternoon to our own ministers who have gone out from our church into the ministry, and our deacons that we love and esteem. I'm sure that none of my brethren in the ministry will feel that we have not regarded them in this arrangement. Another thing I wish to mention, if it is necessary, is that I do hope through this day a spirit of quiet and reverent and solemn and happy thankfulness may pervade our assembly. I regard this as a solemn occasion. It is an occasion of worship and praise and thanksgiving to God. It is a day of praise and thanksgiving. And the hymns that have been chosen for our worship are such as will be expressive of our desire to render praise to the Lord. So that I do hope that all that is done today may be to the Lord's honour and glory. And I'm conscious, how can I be otherwise than conscious, that I am surrounded, I might truly say overwhelmed, with the affection of so many friends. But I particularly wish, as you all will, that all the honour and all the praise today shall be to the God of all grace, because it is all due to him, and most thankfully we would render it to him alone. Affection and esteem I gratefully receive. Honour and praise must be entirely given to the Lord. And that is all I wish to say, and all I shall be called upon to say this morning.
I will now ask our brother, Mr. David Albert, to read the scripture.
Shall we hear the word of God from Psalm 115? Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and for evermore. Praise the Lord. May God bless to us that portion of his holy word.
Thank you, David. I'll now ask your brother, Mr. Henry Godley, to speak in prayer.
The Lord help us to pray. Most holy and gracious God, thou who in thy sovereignty and thy mercy and thy compassion and thy love hath gathered us together on this auspicious occasion to render the tribute of thanks and gratitude from our very hearts, in that thou hast in thy love to us as a people and unto our beloved pastor, maintained him to us these many years, these 50 years. And we know that he would have, as he has said, all the glory to be thine, all the honour. For the power is thine, and the kingdom is thine, and unto thee shall be all praise and honour and blessing. Our hearts go back now over many years, some of us, and we have recorded in our hearts times of signal blessing when thou hast made thy servant to us just that which thou didst know we needed, when he was enabled to speak that word in due season, and how sweet was it. We meet this day to thankfully remember these things, to record thy mercies, to praise thy holy name, and we do ask that thy presence may be felt individually and collectively, that we may be profited in our souls this day, that thy servants present with us may take courage, that they may look to thee who hast sustained our beloved pastor, and yea, who hast sustained us all, and we wonder at thy mercy, and why we were made to hear thy voice to enter while there was room. We know it was the same love that spread the feast which sweetly forced us in. O Lord, we would be humbled this day. We would be nothing, that thou mightest be all and in all. We would sing thy praises. We would pray unto thee for more grace. and as we consider and ponder upon the manner of the love which there the Father hath bestowed upon us, we do pray that we may bear more likeness unto our Saviour, thine only begotten Son. Lord, we thank thee that so far thou hast watched over every arrangement and guided and ordered all things in thy care for the safe gathering of so many friends. We pray that none may return to their homes suffering any injury of any kind, but being warmed and blessed in their own hearts. Lord, do help each one today in that part which they may play. And while we meet on this occasion, our hearts are already up to thee, that thou wilt prepare us for thy day. Lord, pardon the inadequacy and the weakness and the sinfulness of our prayers, for our hearts are full. Thou knowest how we feel. This is one of those days which thou, the Lord, hast made, and we would rejoice and be glad in it. And we do not stay at this time to lengthen our prayers further. Only, Lord, be our helper. Bless us, strengthen us, comfort us, guide us, and afterwards receive us to glory. We ask it in that name which thou hast taught us to love, to revere, to worship, the only way unto thyself, even the name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Now let us sing hymn number 2 on the leaflet, to the tune Praise My Soul, number 682. Praise my soul the King of Heaven, into his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. from God's servant, Mr. Delves from Clapham, the pastor there, to speak to us.
That are here now assembled together, I shall have to ask your patience because of infirmities that are now upon me in my old age. But my dear brother has kindly invited me to speak a few words upon this memorable occasion. And I would desire to unite with each one in acknowledging the goodness and mercy of our covenant God in maintaining my dear brother in his pastorate at Forest Fold Crowborough now for over 50 years. This is a rare occasion, and I know my brother's desire is that there shall not be a lot of eulogy or flattering words concerning himself. He would say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace and abilities, God has given them, and they have been richly blessed. My mind goes back to the days of our childhood, and my dear brother, I am 6 years his senior. I am now in my 83rd year, and my faculties have failed very much. Now this is the third Jubilee I have had the privilege of attending. Attended the Jubilee of the late Mr. John Kemp of Biddenden when there were about 1,100 people assembled together. And I attended, of course, the Jubilee of my late dear pastor, Mr. J.K. Popham of Gilead, Brighton, in 1932. For a pastor to look back upon a period of 50 years is very remarkable. He has had to see a congregation die and by the providence of God, another raised up, a generation gone, and many changes with its trials and afflictions have attended his pastorate. He has survived three very serious illnesses. One, in the early days of his pastorate, when it was thought he was dying, and I visited him in a sanatorium at Robertsbridge in Sussex, and he was in a serious state. But the Lord, we believe, heard prayer and raised him up again. I saw him again in hospital at Redhill, when it was not thought he could survive. He was critically ill, but the Lord in his good providence raised him up again. And I saw him the third time in Richmond Hospital, when again there was but a step between him and death. But there again, in a remarkable way, the Lord raised him up again, undoubtedly because there was more work for him to do. And now, dear friends, my brother and I have long since passed the allotted age. We are living on borrowed days, and how much longer the Lord only knows. But our mercy will be to be ready and to feel, as our powers decline, the power of that blessed gospel in our own soul's experience, as I hope we have done. I am well acquainted, of course, with my brother's history and his early days and some particular providences which I cannot recount, and the days when he first began to preach and became pastor at Forest Fold Chapel, Crowborough, where, as you know, the Lord has sustained him for over 50 years. It is a testimony to the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain a minister, and particularly a pastor, over one congregation for such a length of time. But the gospel is an everlasting gospel, and though ministers and pastors preach it and die, it still remains the everlasting gospel of the grace of God. And now, just for a minute or two, I would like to speak a word in relation to the gospel and the ministry of the gospel. First of all, relating to its divine authority. It is not an institution of man. It was divinely appointed in the providence of God. And when the dear Redeemer was here upon earth, before he ascended up into heaven, he sent forth his disciples to preach the gospel, to go into all nations and to baptize believers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It has a divine authority, and that accounts for its continuity over these ages and all through the gospel days, now being near upon 2,000 years, and which, when that terminates, I sometimes feel it will be the end of the gospel dispensation, as 2,000 years appear to mark a particular period in the purposes of God. But the gospel will be preached till the end of time, undoubtedly, till time shall be no more. And just this in concluding, in relation to the subject matter of the ministry of the blessed gospel. What is that? It is in a short word by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We need not get far away from Calvary, for that is the great and grand and glorious center and foundation of the gospel ministry. Now my time is over. May the Lord still be with my brother in the remaining days that the Lord has appointed unto him, and supply his need, and enable him to proclaim that glorious and blessed gospel, which we believe, we know, he has felt the life and power of in his own soul. And I realize that many causes of truth are here represented. I realize that. And that we are in very sad and solemn times. Very solemn times when vital godliness is at a very, very low ebb, and the profession of many has become sadly superficial. Oh, that it might please the Lord to appear again and bring glory into Zion once again, and that we might see the days as of old when people were convicted of sin under the ministry of the gospel. But we are in the dregs of time and evidently approaching the end, when the Lord shall come again the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord bless you and the causes of truth you have come from, including my own cause and people. And may a sober mind prevail on this eventful day, and to his name be all the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Dallas, very much for your message to us on each. Now let us sing the third hymn, Salvator, number 652. Holy Ghost, inspire our praises, touch our hearts and tune our tones. While we laud the name of Jesus, heaven will gladly share our songs. Raise we then our cheerful voices to our God, who, full of grace, in our happiness rejoices and delights to hear us praise.
You in this large assembly of your friends, and I do count it an honour and a privilege of which I am not worthy, but seeing all our worthiness is in him and due to his grace in us, how fitting that we should seek to ascribe all that worthiness to him in our thanksgiving today and in our personal testimonies to the blessings that you have been to us. Now, I seek to express the feelings, firstly, of all your own brethren in the ministry, and secondly, of all ministers present here with us this morning, and thirdly, of all the friends that have gathered from the causes that you love to labour amongst. May the Lord give you to share in their true affection this morning, and in their thanksgivings and praises and glorifying of God. And may the Lord inhabit our praises this morning, as he did of old, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And may you, dear pastor, share in our thanksgiving. Now I speak firstly for and with their own brethren that have been sent out with your approbation and blessing into the ministry. It is said in the churches, you have many spiritual sons, and as a father, the Lord has given them to you. We love your pastor, and I do believe that the Lord has called out many sons. Mr. David Obbard, Mr. Henry Godley, are truly your spiritual sons. They were born again in travail under your ministry. Mr. Philip Kinderman, Mr. David Crowther and myself are like adopted sons. By sweet adopting grace, we feel, and by divine providence led to find partners in life and grace among your flock. And truly you have many spiritual sons and daughters. For each of our wives, yes, five of them, let me remind you, and the friends were born again under your ministry. Each one of them. And so the Lord has given you many sons and daughters. And now let me speak secondly for all ministers present in this large gathering this morning. They love and esteem you. They share in the labours and exercises of the ministry, a continual pouring out and giving out of their strength and spirit has helped, but will confess this morning that they have under your ministry found times of blessing and refreshing, and the Lord has given you a place in their affections. And now I would feel to express this, that when the Lord exercised my mind in the ministry and brought me into that peaceful waiting state for that final word of direction, when I sat for 5 months under the gospel at your feet, the Lord made that precious gospel that you've labored amongst us for 50 years to me to be wine and milk and honey to my soul, as if it were only for me in that 5 months. And yet I know that during that time the lambs were fed with the sincere milk of the word and the sheep with the strong meats of the gospel. So the Lord has together met all the needs of your flock in your long ministry amongst us, and we thank God for you. Now let me seek thirdly to gather all your friends together to you, and may you feel the true embrace of their affection. They are met together to worship God today in thanksgiving and thank offering. And I have desired friends for you and with you, that this may be a day of renewing in our souls, first of giving ourselves unto the Lord and unto each our respective causes by the will of God. Now, Pastor, you share in these our affections. And finally, today is a memorable day, for we consider him, the unspeakable gift to sinners who came to seek and save the lost. And we consider today in him your gift to the churches, you as a gift to the churches. And we do feel the Lord has given you a place in our affection. Today we measure the love and esteem that we each have for you. Today we measure the faithfulness of a friend and pastor. But there's another day coming that will measure our love and our grief. But today it is our day to share in the joy. And may the Lord's benign blessing rest on you and his continued favour. And may we all humbly feel to say in our spirit, amen.
Thank you, John, very much. Now I'll ask my brother, Mr. Barker, to speak to you.
My dear Pastor, dear friends, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, and how wonderful it is when the people of God can meet together in peace and of one accord. Our dear Pastor has welcomed you in his gracious manner that we have grown so accustomed to, and I, in the name of the deacons, would also welcome you and pray that God's richest blessing might be upon us this day in fellowship together and in that one love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of you have travelled a long way to express your regard and affection for our dear pastor. And we rejoice that it is in your hearts to join with us at Forest Fold to this end. This is a time of commemoration for us and for many others. And what do we commemorate? We commemorate 50 years. Now, 50 years in the thinking of eternity is less than a speck of dust. But in terms of human experience, we can be very much affected by it. This 50 years of our dear pastor has seen many changes. He has in his health and in his church. But when we come to the end of that 50 years, we have to say, what has God wrought? He has been restored, as we've been heard from his gracious brother. He has been blessed in his own spirit, and he's been given ability to speak of the things of God, those things that he has handled and felt. And these experiences have come very near to the hearts of the people. And so this is a time of commemorating how good, gracious is our God. It is a time of remembrance, to call to mind those things that God has wrought with us at Forest Fold through our dear pastor and to the various churches that he has ministered to. It is a time of thankfulness. How thankful we should be when the Lord in his infinite mercy blesses and endures his servants with grace and ability to speak of the things of God, and that he's used to bring to sinners the knowledge of themselves and the knowledge of that one who can redeem them unto himself. But when we've said all this, it is a time for humility with a sense of the Lord's goodness and mercy to our beloved pastor and to us at Forest Fold over these many years. I remember in Mr. Delft's closing prayer last Sunday in the evening, he said that the day commenced with prayer for help and blessing, and that day closed with thankfulness and praise. Cannot that be said of these 50 years? We can think of those godly people and their young pastor in 1924. Dear friends, try and think of that. These, some of them aged people, they had lost an aged pastor, and they were seeking another of God's servants to minister to them. And in the leadings of God in his sovereignty, this young pastor was called, And so you can think of them in fervent prayer that the Lord would bless their union and grant them prosperity. That, of course, they would not know the extent of this ministry. Some of them were very aged at the time. But it's a mercy now when we think of it that some even of those that were at those meetings are still with us. And the Lord has blessed this union, and there is a union of fellowship and love and grace between pastor and people. And just now I would say that of the love that exists between us as deacons to our pastor, how he has led us and guided us and been a loving father to us in those things that have concerned our church. And so we now come to this day and record the faithfulness of our God in that he has richly blessed the labours of his servant, our pastor and minister of the gospel. And cannot you, dear friends, from distant parts take your minds back over the years when you have realized the blessing of the Lord under the ministry of the word by Mr. Dells? You surely come to this meeting with memories of what he has spoken. Some have come with memories even of the text that he has preached from. And so you have realized the blessing of that word of Mr. Dells. And I would say in the past the Lord has been pleased to bless our denomination with many able and well-taught ministers of Christ who have been used of God to speak the word of his grace to other congregations throughout the land. And our pastor has served his day and generation in this way for the edification and encouragement of the Lord's people. And it's good to record it to the awakening of many sinners and for the continuing fellowship with those pastorless churches. As we know, there are many churches, small causes, that have not a pastor to minister to them. We feel that we are favoured, but it is good when pastors like Mr. Dells can supply their needs, even occasionally. It brings a sense of fellowship together. And so we do feel at this time that he has served his day with usefulness and with the Lord's blessing upon him. Now, I want a word now to you, dear pastor. When in the providence of God, my wife and I were brought to Crowborough, it's 8 years ago this month, within 2 days you had found out where we lived. You visited us and gave us a loving welcome to Forest Fold, and we shall not forget your prayers on that occasion. We can testify, both of us, that we have been richly blessed as you expounded those themes so dear to your own heart and to ours. That is, Jesus Christ and his shed blood and the power of the Holy Spirit to make this effectual in the hearts of repenting sinners. Within a short time, it was with us, no more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. We felt that we had a spiritual home. We had a home where we could sit at the table of our Lord and Master. And well, so while others speak of the affections of their earliest years, you must remember that some of our friends have been worshipping at Forest Fold all their lives, their parents before them. And so I'd like to say a word and speak for those who have been brought here in recent years. Some are young friends, and we have been delighted to see our young people come along, and some to join with us from other places in the providence of God. And some are older. We've been glad of them and their wise counsel and their graciousness. But all have that same love and esteem for their pastor. Now, during the past few months in the work of organizing this meeting, we've received many letters speaking of the blessing of the gospel through the ministry of Mr. Delves. And you would probably be interested to hear what some of them say, because they are indicative of that same love of, and the blessing received. Here's one. It is wonderful that the Lord has blessed his servant in sparing his life these many years. I cannot tell when I first heard Mr. Delves preach, but I do remember him preaching at Tamworth Road from John 18, verse 34, on March the 25th, 1937. Also, I remember one day when speaking to Mr. George Rose. Mr. George Rose referred to Mr. Delves as being broad, but as deep as he was broad. May the Lord bless the two brothers and all those who attend the services. Here's another one. The ministry of our dear friend, God's faithful servant, has been in days past of much blessing to us. One of the sweetest times to me was years ago at Dunstable when he preached from "I was brought low and he helped me. This was a feast to my soul." Mr. Delves once said, "There is a step further than submission, and that is acquiescence. How sweet is this if only given to us." I must not write a lengthy letter. Please give my Christian love to Mr. Delves. May he be spared yet a number of years, if the Lord's will, to the furtherance of the gospel. Now, if you bear with me a moment, another one here. I would say there's none of these dear friends are with us today, and that's why I thought it would be gathering together those who are here and those who are absent. At first, Mr. Dell's ministry was the means of bringing me to see and feel myself a hell-deserving sinner, then to cry unto the Lord to have mercy on me, then to feel and know that my only hope was in the precious blood of Jesus. Then as the months and the years went by, there were times when the ministry seemed like a little bit of heaven on earth. Now, this is the last one. This was from the chairman of the Bible Christian Union Fellowship, and it is Bishop D.A. Thompson. He writes quite a long letter, but this is a part of it. "I would like to be numbered amongst those who thank the Lord for Mr. Delves' long and faithful ministry and the doctrines of grace. I have often thought of Mr. Delves with gratitude and affection." Now, dear pastor, we are glad to be favored that we are able to speak to you in this way and to remember with thankfulness all that you have meant to us in the church and in the diaconate. And we do pray that you may be helped and blessed and sustained for a while yet, as the Lord may see fit. So, Lord, bless us together with the Spirit of Christ and with peace in our own hearts.
Thank you, Mr. Bob.
Very pleased to hear this, what you have to say with us. Now, I'll just say, before I give out this fourth hymn, that after the hymn and the benediction, there are some notices to be given out. Now, we'll now sing hymn number 4, tune French, 144. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led, our vows and prayers, we now present before thy throne of grace. God of our fathers, be the God of the succeeding race.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God the Father, and the communion of God the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen.
I'll read this notice out before asking there Brother Mr. John Birch to come up and give a little explanation about different things. We would like the friends to know that all the expenses of this memorable day are being borne by the Forest Fold General Fund, but that with regard to the trust fund which the church and congregation of Forest Fold and their beloved pastor wish to be established with the donations already received or to be received today or afterwards, I am requested to announce the following legal advice: that all the monies so given will be paid to trustees for the establishment of a charitable trust known as the Stanley Delves Trust, the object of which will be strictly charitable in the legal sense. The first trustees will be nominated from among the persons who are the present trustees of the Forest Fold Chapel, Crowborough. And during Mr. Delves' lifetime, any new appointment of trustees will be subject to his approval. The administration of this charity will be at the discretion of the trustees, who will, of course, be aware of Mr. Delves' wishes during his lifetime. Hope that has made it clear to the friends. Now, my brother, Mr. John Birch, will give us an explanation.
If I may trouble you with a few more domestic arrangements. Lunch. We hope to commence serving both tea and coffee in approximately 15 minutes' time. That will be at about 1 o'clock, which will be served to you in your seats. Mr. Ralph will be saying grace to indicate commencement of lunch. The afternoon service is due to commence at 2:30, and we should be glad if the front three rows on the left-hand side are left vacant for our Sunday school children. Booklets. Included in your hymn sheet, you should have received an order form in respect of the Jubilee commemoration book, which we hope, God willing, will be available in July. This booklet will contain Mr. Jesse Delves' address of this morning, our pastor's sermon of this afternoon, a record of our pastor's call to the pastorate here, a short history of Forest Fold, and a general resume of today's meetings. For those of you who would like to pay for your order today, a table will be available during the lunch interval and after the service this afternoon, when two of our friends will be pleased to deal with your requirements. The table will be just over there on my right-hand side. A Jubilee record book. During this morning, many of you have already been kind enough to sign one of the loose leaf sheets that have been circulating on boards. These will be bound together after the meeting, and it is our hope that this record will prove of interest to our pastor, and that by browsing through its pages, he will have many happy memories of the large number of friends he has been blessed with during the course of his long ministry, both at Forest Fold and in many other parts of the country. For those who haven't signed as yet, further sheets will be available at the foot of the platform during the lunch interval and tea time. the children's room. This room, which is the prefabricated classroom behind the two on my left, parents of young children may be interested to know that the children's room will again be available this afternoon, but for only under fives. Forest Fold. We felt that some of our visitors might welcome this opportunity of visiting Forest Fold, and the chapel and Sunday school will be open from 5:15 onwards. Exhibition. A small exhibition of the history of Forest Fold will be displayed at the front of this platform during the lunch and tea, which we hope you will find of interest. Cars. There are just one or two cars that are double parked in the forecourt there. There is still plenty of room in the car park for such cars, just in case the cars they are blocking need to be moved. I also asked to mention that for security reasons, the three of our sidesmen will be standing by the Jubilee collecting boxes, which are on the right-hand side of the hall. Thank you very much.